Good afternoon. The last session for the day, and then we have Mass come up. Before we say the prayer, I mentioned this when we started the conference on Sunday, but the folks presenting the day, their pastor, Monsignor Macaccio, got sick with cancer, probably was it in like April, May, and then passed in July, unfortunately. So actually they put his prayer here for the conference prayers. That's pretty neat. So that's what we've been praying. So let's pray as we get started. In the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Loving and gracious God, we ask you to open our hearts to your Son's life and ministry, to answer the call to be his disciples. May our response be rooted in the gospel. May we be ever mindful of the needs of our communities, and may our stewardship flow from a profound sense of gratitude for your many blessings. By the gift of the Holy Spirit, empower and inspire us to respond in a way that brings hope to others and reveals the love that comes to us through Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen. So I'm Jim Kelly from the Diocese of Charlotte, and this parish, St. Pius X, is in our diocese. And I just want to tell you an introduction for like a minute or so we can get into the presentation. So Pat Spivey and I go back a long time. She actually started with the first stewardship effort at St. Pius in 1982 as a volunteer, and then worked for them 23 years. So they've done stewardship almost every year for those 42 years. They skipped, I think, 2 or 3 years of the 42. So real consistent men who the pastor was, and Pat's been involved for most of that time as a volunteer or staff member. Now she's retired, but obviously still here and working, so it's wonderful. And then Lindsay is the current pastoral associate for Formation Evangelization, been there about 7 years. So Monsignor would have been here as part of this, obviously passed in July, unexpectedly with this cancer, so we'll do this in honor of him today, but want to have them give us a great presentation on digital stewardship in the parish. Welcome. Thank you, guys.
I'm the Pat. Let me just tell you, you can't get away from it. I know you're here to hear about digital stewardship, but when ICSC called us and asked us to participate, they also wanted us to share a little bit of our stewardship journey. So I promise this takes less than 5 minutes because Lindsay needs plenty of time. We are one of 5 Catholic churches in Greensboro, North Carolina, right in the middle of the state. I can be at the beach in 2 hours or I can be in the mountains in 2 hours. It's awesome. In 1955, St. Pius School opened as a mission of a St. Benedict's Catholic Church, the only one in Greensboro at the time. It's still standing. 5 years later, St. Pius became an independent parish. Now, 64 years later, we are the largest parish in the city. We have around 1,800 families. We have 5,400 members. We have one priest, one part-time deacon, 2 part-time staff members, and 7 full-time staff members. As you might imagine, there's lots and lots of good stewards that help keep our parish running. Our school includes a pre-K through 8th grade with 435 students, and our annual combined budget for both the parish and the school is $7.4 million. I want to just tell you a little bit about 3 pastors that we had that have enabled us to grow and to develop stewardship as a way of life in our parish. The first was in 1979, Father George Closter came to St. Pius. He formed the first stewardship committee. I found a stewardship brochure from that time that had hand-drawn graphics and some typed text on it. We can do much different these days. A church was finally built so that our masses were no longer said in the chapel in the basement of the school. I got married in the basement of the school. The pictures look good from the wedding. With his leadership, a group of parishioners formed the St. Pius X Housing Authority and had a facility with 54 apartments for low-income seniors built on our property. We still have ministry in that facility. Our students from the school go over and, you know, call bingo and play games, and we have a seniors minister that goes over there and has all kinds of activities. A successful parish spiritual renewal program called Jubilee, and our relationship with a parish in Peru began during his pastorate. While adapted somewhat, these vibrant ministries, led by parishioners, by good stewards, continue to this day. Following several years of Franciscan pastors, Father Frank Connolly came to St. Pius in 1994. He came out of retirement because there wasn't another priest who could come to St. Pius when the Franciscans left. He hadn't been here very long when one day I heard him talking with one of the older parishioners in the church, and John was telling Father Frank that a pew on the right-hand side in the second row was broken. And so Father Frank said, "Well, you have a toolbox, right?" And John said, "Yes." And Father Frank said, "Well, just go ahead and fix it." And he did, and he became the fix-it person for our parish for a long time. A very good steward. One of many throughout the years, as you'll see. During this time, a parish center and middle school were built, along with an athletic center. Father Frank's homilies always ended with, "Just do the drill. Do what God has called you to do. Have an attitude of gratitude." Every homily. Following Father Frank's retirement in 2000, Monsignor Anthony Marcaccio came. When he first came, he didn't really know what stewardship was about. He had been secretary to the bishop. He had been in a parish right out of the seminary for a little while. So he really hadn't had an opportunity to learn about it. But it didn't take me too many years to convince him he needed to go to an ICSC conference because it was in Miami. We were being recognized for something, one of the first things, like stewardship of excellence, something like that. He heard some of the speakers. He met and spoke with bishops and priests about their involvement in stewardship and actually participated in a discussion with his fellow priest. Stewardship became something that he talked about and lived all the time. His homilies would always, in some way or other, bring a stewardship message. It might be subtle, but it was there. In 2010, in part because of his consistent stewardship message to share our gifts, our Make a Place at the Table campaign began and culminated with the dedication of a $9.2 million 11-seat church, which was dedicated on the 50th anniversary of our parish. The debt on that church was paid off in 23 months. It takes everybody. 3 years later, in conjunction with a diocesan capital campaign, we ran our second campaign called Making a Place to Gather and Grow. It enabled us to build a $5.9 million new office building and parish center, as well as a pre-K through first grade classroom building. That mortgage was burned in 2022. So St. Pius X is debt-free, and we now have no other place to build, for which I'm grateful. I've been through four capital campaigns. I'm done. The stewardship committee continues to search for ways to provide opportunities that take into account changing family dynamics, both parents working, kids sporting events, after-school activities, et cetera. Several years ago, in the brochure, ministries were listed by the amount of time it was needed by a parishioner so that they would know whether or not they had the time to actually commit to it. Were there ministries where they could just be, you know, just do something one time? Martha's Helpers, which now has over 80 participants, was formed. When there's a need for food at an event, a request goes out. If they can help, great. They can drop something off. If not, that's okay. Some men in the parish wanted to, they formed a what they call a group called Guys Doing Stuff. They didn't want meetings, but they wanted to do stuff, thus the name. Guys aren't too innovative sometimes and stuff. I'm going to take 20 seconds to tell you how that happened. We were at a parish council retreat one night at a retreat center north of Greensboro. We'd had 3 bottles of wine. I'm sitting around, we're talking, and all these guys are complaining because there's nothing for them to do that, you know, didn't require meetings and all that stuff. One of the men just said, "We just want to help and do stuff." I said, "Well, then start a group called Doing Stuff." And they did. So they do all kinds of things, from yard work for some of our seniors to setting up tables and chairs for events. Word goes out. If you can help, great. If not, we'll see you next time. No long-term commitment. And that's been great. We have multiple Bible studies. Day and evening are offered. We have craft classes, prayer groups, book clubs, night games, game nights, seniors' luncheons, parish picnics, just to name a few, all with the goal of bringing our parishioners together to get them engaged so that they realize that St. Pius is theirs, their faith family, a family of stewards. We've been blessed through the years that most of our pastors have promoted stewardship and the work of the stewardship committee to help our parishioners answer the baptismal call to stewardship. This year we have 5 participants here to once again get new ideas to help with our mission to promote stewardship as a way of life. There were going to be 8 of us, and then, you know, life happens. There have been fun ministry fairs, workshops for ministry leaders, parish retreats focused on stewardship, thank you dinners, recognition of our young stewards, and, of course, our annual stewardship renewal. But what I feel, and I worked, as Jim said, in stewardship for over 40 years, but what I feel has been most important is the consistent emphasis on engagement and the presence of a stewardship message in all communications. For many years, that meant picking up a bulletin each week or receiving a letter from the pastor or a stewardship committee reminding you of a need or a meeting or something. Well, those times have certainly changed. It's a new day, and whether people my age or not like it, we are now into the digital age. So I'm going to let Lindsay talk to you about what we do at St. Pius and how we have moved from that printed material into using all kinds of multimedia.
I think these were a couple pictures of our facilities there. You can see the church on the top and then the interior and our parish center. So why are we here today? Well, we know that stewardship is a way of life. That's something that we talk about all the time. But we don't want to talk about stewardship just through traditional ways, but through a cooperation with formation, with evangelization, with communications. So these are all different things that we have to take into account when talking about stewardship these days. And in the modern world, digital media is one of the most effective ways of communication, and we kind of have to embrace that opportunity. I remember reading something not that long ago, and it was talking about how the illiterate people of this generation are not the ones that can't read. They're the ones that can't use technology. And so we kind of have to keep up with that, right? We have to know what's going on. We have to learn about new things. Having a presence on, you know, the internet now, having a website, whether it's an actual website, whether it's a Facebook site, that's the norm for most parishes, most businesses. But we have to also build a culture of encounters. So even though we might have a presence online, we need to focus on what the USCCB says is this culture of encounters, empowering men and women to discern their call to be missionary disciples and engage in this work of evangelization outside the church building. So how do we do that through digital media and digital stewardship? So we need to create things not just to consume. So we're kind of programmed to consume, right? Like even I will sit down and watch something on television at night. And I'm like, I'm going to watch this show. I'm going to watch like 3 episodes in a row because I just need to decompress after a long day. And while I'm doing that, I'm also on my phone texting my mom or looking at something on social media. So we're kind of programmed to consume stuff that way. But how do we use those things to communicate with our parishioners and with the people even outside of our parish? So in Isaiah 43, it says, "See, I'm doing something new." So even in Scripture, we see that new things happen. We have a history at St. Pius of stewardship materials that are printed ministry guides, brochures, things like that, that could fill a room. This is an ongoing thing for decades. But we began to digitize a lot of stuff more heavily during COVID because we wanted things to be accessible to people who maybe weren't there in person. But really the beginnings of all this, I would have to say, and kind of go back to the roots of when we really started with this logo. And that's why I asked Pat just a little while ago, like, when did the logo actually kind of come about? Because about a decade ago, 10, 12 years ago, before I even started to work there at the parish, a parishioner and her graphic design team at the company that she and her husband own, they kind of, as part of their stewardship, helped us design this logo. And it was kind of born from an older logo that we had, but just kind of brought into the 21st century. And I will say, kind of going into all of this, that I do not have a background in any of this. I have a bachelor's degree in English. I was a high school teacher. I have a theology catechesis master's degree and started out doing faith formation and youth ministry stuff at the parish. So, we kind of got restructured and our pastor was like, evangelization involves communicating with people, and therefore I'm going to put communications under evangelization. And I kind of just got handed some of this stuff. And so I've taught myself a lot of it, and I'm talking to you from a parishioner, a staff perspective. Not, I don't work for a tech company. I don't work for any of these companies that, not trying to sell you anything. I can just tell you what we do and what works, and answer your questions. Knowing that we are a unique parish in that, you know, we do what we do, but you all do what you do. And so something different might work better for you. Building the brand, you know, it's very businessy, corporate sounding, but it works. We have this logo that was designed for us, and you see it in all of these different materials. On the very left, the No Love Serve. So this cross here, it was actually that big metal cross. It was right out. It's been on our campus. It's still on our campus. It's in front of the school now, kind of mounted on our actual church building. There's a brick version of it laid into the brick on the facade of our church building. The kids at the school will make birthday cards for the pastor, and they know this cross. Like, they know the logo, even the children. Our school has the same logo, it's just kind of a different color of gold because their mascot is the Comets, so it's kind of a more bronzy gold color. But the colors and everything we try to keep consistent, the fonts we keep consistent. Even you see a picture of our ministry guide there in the middle, and then one of our email headers with the stewardship logo, the Restore, Renew, Return. We keep the fonts consistent and try to stay the same in all those things that we do. But in kind of thinking about building your presence and kind of building up these things, you want to first have a goal. Like, what's our goal? What do we want to do? But you kind of have to back up and say, what's our identity? So how do you identify as a parish? Well, most of us probably have mission statements. Our mission statement is several sentences long, but you can really distill it down to these three words, to know, love, and serve. Those are like the three key words at the beginning of the sentences in our mission statement, and so that became part of our stewardship logo as well. We have You can build a professional website. That's another great way to obviously help build your identity as a parish. There's plenty of tools out there to do that. I do ours myself using Wix, which is pretty simple. I don't know how to code or anything like that. It's just a drag and drop. You make it look nice. You can change colors and play around with stuff and upload pictures. But there's plenty of other, I guess, companies that you can work with that can help you design these things. There's, you know, if you have somebody in your parish that maybe does it for a line of work and that can be their stewardship, that's great. If you have somebody, maybe even a teenager that knows how to do coding, they can help with stuff like that. Posting regularly on a blog or doing videos, especially if you can get your pastor involved, that's a great way to kind of build up your presence. Asking for reviews. So this kind of started, we had a really weird review one day on Google, like really weird, just odd. And we're like, who is this person? You know? And so then our pastor, Monsignor, he was like, get everybody we know to leave good reviews. So we started to like, so now at the end of all of our emails, it's like, leave us a Google review. And so sometimes, like once in a while, I'll put it out on Facebook to leave us a review. But it helps because it helps kind of boost your presence. In a positive way. Posting regularly on social media, but not too often. That's obviously a great strategy. Consider creating a digital newsletter. And then using things when you do build up these things, especially with your website, to learn a little bit about SEO, search engine optimization, and using analytics to kind of adjust and track and use data to see what's going on with all the things that you're using. So your website, I'm gonna, real quick, I wanted to pull up, so this is our website. It's kind of hard to see on here. The one thing that I will say about websites, use your own pictures. I think it's so important to use pictures of your own church, your own people. There's obviously a lot of stock things out there that can be used, but for people to see actually who you are as a parish is really important. So this is our crucifix. It hangs above the altar and the stained glass windows behind it. Where's my little mouse here? So if you kind of scroll down, there's other stuff. But, you know, what we have on our website, we've got these, like, there's four drop-down menus here. I know they're real tiny. These four drop-down menus, these align with kind of the four buckets of ministry that Monsignor created. So he sort of restructured things like maybe 2-3 years ago. And he said, okay, we have a finance and admin department. We have music and liturgy, we have formation and evangelization, and then we have parish and community life. So we have four full-time staff members over those four areas. We do have a stewardship committee, but we were talking about this earlier. It kind of helps that the ministries that fall under formation and evangelization, the ministry leaders don't necessarily report to the stewardship committee. The ministries that are under my bucket of formation and evangelization, I kind of help manage them. And so it's kind of division of labor in that way. But under each of these four buckets, we have areas of stewardship. So under our finance and admin, we have a page on our website dedicated to the diocesan support appeal, a page for planned giving, a page for online giving. We have a youth stewardship page that's just opportunities for our youth and for our confirmation class to get service hours. Parish and community life, that's where you'll find our ministry guide and ways to connect with ministry leaders and things like that. And then our last little area is really just events and communication. So you can find digital versions of our newsletter, our bulletins, pretty much all of our interactive calendar, that's all under events and communication. I'm going to try to get back here too. There we go. Okay. So we also have a pretty good following on social media. Monsignor's passing, it was interesting because I do all the social media stuff and the emails and the website, and it was like our viewers and our users were like here, and then the week he passed away, it like exponentially just went through the roof. So I feel like a greater responsibility now to do more because we have more people following us and stuff. But that was a huge indicator to me of where people are going for information. They wanted to know what was happening. They wanted to know about funeral arrangements. They just wanted information. And so that was super important, and a big kind of eye opener for me. These are just some pictures, some things that we've shared, things you can do. Really nothing out of the ordinary, just pretty normal stuff. And again, you'll see, I share our emails on Facebook. We repost stuff. We share things from the diocese. You can share blog posts. And again, you see a lot of consistency in our branding as a parish and our logo. As far as social media goes, it's one type of digital stuff you can use for stewardship. There's different things, different outlets for it, and you really have to kind of discern what's right for you and say, okay, I'm looking at all these things, and I want to know what's the demographic of users for each of these, and is there a place for me here? Is there a place for our parish on this platform? Facebook and Instagram and YouTube, those are probably the three biggest. The majority of internet users are on those platforms, at least Facebook and YouTube. Instagram is not really online, more of an app. And that's going to be a younger demographic. Twitter, which is now called X, primarily men, actually, according to the demographics, but it's more for quick news. It's kind of interesting because it's like you're limited to 80 characters, and in my experience, men are not big talkers, so that kind of tracks, right? Fewer words, quicker information. LinkedIn, I mentioned this in another session yesterday, but don't write that off as a place to share stuff, especially if you're looking for, you know, maybe a new staff member. It's a great place to post for jobs even. And that's your young professionals. A lot of young adults are using LinkedIn. And then TikTok and Snapchat. Personally, I have children. I have a 12-year-old and a 17-year-old daughter, and both of them just, it stresses me out to no end of what they might possibly be encountering, on their devices. But that's the reality that we live in. And again, they're seeing so much on these things already. Why not give them something good to look at? Like, there's so much negativity and there's so much stuff that I worry about this and I worry about that. So why not provide them some good content, some youth ministry content, on some of these platforms? There are a couple, this slide here, there's a website, it's called the Pew Research Center. I should have mentioned this earlier. At the end, there's a QR code on the last slide, and if you scan it, it'll take you to our website, and there's actually, you can download this presentation and my notes and everything. So, this is from the Pew Research Center. This gives you, it's really interesting to look at the demographics of users, on these different things, and even if you have a Facebook page, Facebook has its own analytics, and like I know that most of our users for our Facebook page, the people that follow us, it'll show you even like a graph of like the times of day, and the best time for us to post stuff on Facebook is between 7 and 9 p.m. That's when most of the people who follow us are on Facebook. And so it's really interesting what you can learn just by doing a little research and digging into some of these things. There's also a lot of integrations and tools and things that you can use to kind of help streamline your job or your ministry in this. You could have a Facebook account, an Instagram account, a LinkedIn account. do emails, do all this other stuff, or you can have maybe one program like a Hootsuite or a Loomly and make one post, maybe do a couple tweaks or variations on it, and it will push it out to multiple places at once. So you're not like having to reinvent the wheel every time. Canva, super awesome. If you've never used it, it's like kind of like dummy proof. I mean, it gives you the most beautiful, cool templates for stuff. And you can start from scratch and make your own things, or you can use one of their pre-made templates. And they do have nonprofit pricing and teams pricing for nonprofits. So, a team account may be, you know, several hundred dollars, but for nonprofits, it's next to nothing. So that's definitely something to look into. Content. So you have to find and develop meaningful content. They call that curating. So if you hear that word, that's what that means. Calendars are a great place or a great thing to post and use. Our calendar, it's interactive. So if you click on an event, if there's a registration link associated with it, it'll pull up the registration for that event. We don't put everything on our calendar, like wedding rehearsals don't go on the public-facing calendar, but most other things do if they're open to parishioners and community members. Current events. So use what's already happening and talk about it. I don't like to get into politics, except with people like my family and stuff at the dinner table. But like, it's election season. Why not share something meaningful from an organization like Catholic Vote? Why not tap into like everybody that loves The Chosen and follows The Chosen and Jonathan Rumi and the National Eucharistic Congress and repost something from that on your social media? So if they're already talking about it, why not use that to your advantage? There's a lot of creative twists that you can put on things. One of my favorites, Busted Halo, does this. It's called like the Insta-Lent Challenge. And it's 40 days of hashtags where it would be great for like engaging people on your social media, especially youth group stuff, like high schoolers. Because it gives you 40 days worth of hashtags, like Ash Wednesday is hashtag ashes. So it encourages you to post a picture that's inspired by that hashtag. So it might be a person with, you know, their ashes on their forehead or something related to that. There are different religious words, obviously, in the Catholic faith. But I think that that gives our teens even and our young people an opportunity to be Catholic, in their social media world. And I'm a parent, so I am not beneath bribery and incentives. So if you say, hey, if you post 35 out of the 40 days, you know, we'll enter your name and you can win a prize or something. You know, everybody likes Chick-fil-A and gift cards and stuff like that. So incentivize them, and that helps them kind of build up their Catholic identity, and that's evangelization, right? So that's part of stewardship. And Catholics love to share. So borrow and share, especially from people in your own parish and your own followers. Using these things allows you to reach the marginalized people, the people that aren't necessarily showing up for Mass. I don't know where this stat came from, but I think in a session earlier today, I heard one of the presenters mention that about 50% of people registered at our parishes maybe don't even set foot through the door. And that was like a staggering statistic to hear. So how do we reach those 50% of the people that are registered? You know, maybe they're sitting at home and looking online. I will say that our pastor was he was not interested in live streaming during COVID. It didn't hurt us. It actually, I think it kept people interested, and when it was time to come back, people came back. They weren't just still sitting at home. Some did, of course, but they weren't still sitting at home just watching Mass on the computer or on their TV. So he never live streamed, but what he did do was make these really cool videos about different topics. He would allow us to film portions of sacramental celebrations like First Communion because we had to limit the number of people, especially during 2020. We would have normally had it during the month of May. We pushed it back to August, and even then it was limited. You could only have so many people. We had to socially distance and wear masks and all that. But we filmed part of it so that people who maybe couldn't be there could still see their grandchildren or their godchildren, you know, at First Communion. So that was really nice. And we were able to use one of the talks that he did during COVID. It was an All Souls Day message. Again, this kind of plays into like a content library. So you have these things and you can reuse them when they're appropriate. And he filmed this beautiful, beautiful message about grief during COVID for All Souls Day. And we reshared it, after he passed. And it was like, you know, just divine to hear your own pastor who had just passed away talking to you about the grieving process and grief and love. And that was a beautiful thing, that we wouldn't have been able to do had we not kind of stepped into that digital world. Some crossover content. So think about what you're already, publishing in print and what could you kind of do that? How could you kind of convert some of that digitally and vice versa? What are you doing digitally that might also be beneficial to do in print? Where can you share printed items? What might be better suited to a digital push? So we do a printed newsletter quarterly called Echoes. We used to do it monthly, but we do it a little less frequently now. And it's printed, but in August, the fall edition in August, I started to do digitally, because it's registration heavy. Like, we want people to register for stuff, and all of our registrations, most of them are done online now, so it's just so much easier for people to scroll through and click a button. So you kind of need to discern what's going to be better suited for something digital.
Did you mail it and digitize it both, or just do one?
This year we did both just because it was like a weird summer. But in the past we did like an August digital and then a September mailed. So it was kind of a both and, but they weren't necessarily the same issue. Cause some of our printed stuff, it'll be articles too. People will submit articles for the newsletter or save the dates, things like that. But the registration one is the one that I would send out digitally. And then are there opportunities to create cohesive campaigns? So stuff that you can do a both and, or maybe even, you know, tap into doing a video, a mailing, a homily, and a pew card, and kind of do everything for one campaign. Quick comparison. So some benefits of both. So digital stuff, it's instant. You can access it live with a click. It's interactive. It's measurable, so you can track performance and demographics by tracking these things. And it's flexible. Our ministry guide's printed. The last print one we did was in May, but we've had a new principal since then and a new pastor. And so the pastor and the principal are updated in the digital version, but the print version still has previous pastor, previous principal. So that's a good pro to the digital stuff. It's very cost conscious, cost conscious. So pennies on the dollar, obviously, compared to printing stuff and sometimes even free. And you can do coordinated efforts. So an example of the coordination was when our pastor died or when we got our new pastor. And, you know, we found out information as a staff at a different time than we wanted the public to find out. And the diocese also had to notify people in both cases. And so we were on the phone with communications offices and the parish secretary and trying to coordinate and say, okay, we need to tell the people we need to tell. And then we're going to get this all together. And tomorrow at 5 o'clock or today at 4:30, we're all going to hit push and send everything out at the same time. So it was a big coordinated effort. And that's a lot easier to do digitally, obviously. Print It's lasting. My mother still has Encyclopedia Britannicas and like four, the paper ream boxes, you know what I mean? Full of National Geographics. I don't know why, but she felt that it was really, through a move, downsizing, she felt it was important to keep all that stuff. So print stuff can last. It's sensory. So there's something about, you know, reading a physical book. I don't do the Kindle. I can't read like that. I like a physical book. It's traditional. It's specific. So if you have a planned giving brochure or something like that, a very specific need to communicate, it can be better sometimes to do that in print. And it's also, you know, adds to credibility. So anyone can put something out online these days, but it takes a degree of credibility to put something in print. And speaking of that, one thing that we do not do digitally and we never have done, is our parish registration. And I think that I know some parishes do, and for us, for our parish, it's just something that we feel like it's important that it's a more intentional decision. We have paper forms. People come into the office, they pick them up. Otherwise, I could sit at home and I can register for a parish, set up online giving, not set foot in church for 6 months, and then call up and say, hey, I want to have my child baptized. Look, I'm registered and I've been giving for 6 months, and nobody knows who they are. So we as a parish, just do it a different way. I have a PDF of the form that I will email to people if I need to, especially when it comes time for faith formation. We have families that will come and give that aren't registered, and we have a record of their giving through their attendance, but they maybe just haven't registered. And so in those cases, sometimes I'll say, hey, I noticed you've been coming and you've been giving, but you're not registered. Here's a form. Would you like to do that? Sometimes they never do, but sometimes they do. A good starting point for a lot of this, these next slides here will go pretty fast. Database management. So this is like a huge place to start. We converted our data from a desktop software that you could only get to from if you went into the office and sat at your computer. We moved into the 21st century, and it's now I can access it right here. If you said, what's so-and-so's phone number? I can pull it up on the app on my phone. I can look at it from home. It's super helpful. It's got everything. It's one of the, you know, church management software programs that are out there, and it's been kind of a game changer. But it was a huge wake-up call of how messy our data was after like decades of human error, just entering, you know, instead of it would be like Mr. Patricia Spivey, or, you know, you notice little things, or there'd be four Patricia Spiveys in the system. And you're like, certainly there aren't four of her, but we cleaned all that up. We did a census. We cleaned up the data. We got new data from people. We figured out who was still there. Ours has, we did a little push. You see on the bottom left, that was our pastor's dog, Tater. And it says, Tater's a good boy. Be like Tater. Upload your picture. Tater had his own little profile on our database, and I used him as our example. Like, here, I did a series of little videos of, like, how to set up online giving, how to do this, how to use this system, and Tater was always my example, so that was kind of fun. And we did, like, if you upload your picture this month, we'll enter your name for, it was like an Amazon gift card or something like that, so.
What percentage of your person do you have to email
We have almost 4,000 emails in our system right now.
Over
2,400. Yeah. And the way we have it set up is, you know, parents will have an email, child typically doesn't, but the way we have our system set up is if the child's in a group or a class, the parents are automatically emailed when communication goes out. So that's a super helpful thing with, you know, converting to something like this. And we use, you know, still, this was part of our, like census thing. We did a mailing. We mailed out the census forms. We pretty much sent everyone a copy of here's what we have in the system for you. Let us know if this looks right. And if not, here was a space to make corrections, and we gave them like 3 months to get it back to us. Then we spent 3 months following up with phone calls with, we had like 20 volunteers or more that each took a chunk and made phone calls. They tried 3 points of contact for everyone. And wouldn't you know it, someone will call up and say, why am I, you know, they're inactive because we didn't hear from them. And I'm like, well, you didn't respond to our 47 inquiries, and so we made you inactive. But like, they had to have not responded to anything, not given a dime in like 5 or 10 years, and then a couple other things before we made them inactive. So you really kind of had to work hard to be made inactive, but there were some. And they still pop up once in a while. Email communications, again, we're pretty consistent with our logo and stuff in this. We do a weekly email that's digital, obviously, and one of those weekly emails, once a month, it's a stewardship-focused email. But in every one, there's a stewardship message related to the weekend's upcoming gospel, but one specifically per month is stewardship-focused. We, you know, talk about our important events. We do emails. If we have funerals coming up, we send an email blast out to the parish, notifying people that there's been a death and funeral arrangements and things like that. Okay. And it just makes everything a little bit easier. We use it for our ministry guide. We've digitized that. It's accessible year-round. We do a mailing. We provide them to the people at the school. And it's also available online. And it has instructions on how to join a ministry online, too. So if you go in through our church management software, where people would presumably have made an account, hopefully, they can search for ministries. And our ministry guide is aligned with those four buckets, those four areas, and the ministries under them, and they are organized the same exact way when you go into our system and log in and you search for ministries through the same way. So it's all very consistent and makes it easy to find things online.
How many ministries do you have?
Oh, what did we say the other day? 63 or something? 63 ministries. And like 30, we have some paper copies of our ministry guide over here and some other stuff that we had at our table downstairs and we don't want to take them home, so please come take them afterwards. Faith formation, we've gone digital in that realm too. There's a lot of digital lessons and we have workbooks, but a lot of that stuff can be supplemented with digital material. If people are opting to do a homeschool program, if they, you know, maybe have an issue with, we have some families where, dad has them every other week. Mom or dad won't bring them on the off week, something like that. And so they kind of have to do a hybrid, little bit of homeschooling. And so we work with them. And the digital stuff makes that so much easier. And with our youth, you know, there's videos and there's really cool programs out there that they can use online as well. Online giving and paying fees. Again, if you're not doing this digitally, then you're really missing out because it has cut down so much on, you know, a lot of stuff. Our online giving almost doubled during COVID. We really pushed, helped us to pay off our debt. Like Pat said, in 2023, we retired our debt. I think between the end of summer and December, in 2023, we raised over almost $500,000 to pay off like the last bit of our debt. So, that's a lot easier to do when people can just scan a QR code sometimes. It's super helpful. We do the text to give, and we have specific giving forms with text to give and with QR codes. It'll pull up. This is our St. Anthony's Bread Endowment that Monsignor set up for in memory of his family. But that money goes into an endowment through the diocese that feeds the poor. And so we have specific online giving forms for different funds. And we can easily collect fees, send out, hey, you still owe a balance, stuff like that. It makes it a lot easier. We have an app. We use QR codes for a lot of stuff. The conference here is on an app. We have a parish app. The QR codes are super easy. We have one set up even for our stewardship commitment for this coming October. We'll use, hopefully, to do a, you know, hey, I never ask you to get your phones out during Mass, but we're going to take 3 minutes at the end of the homily, and everybody's going to fill out this commitment form. And it's just a super quick, you know, name, age range, email, phone number, and then check some boxes, whatever you're interested in. In conjunction with a traditional ministry fair type of thing. So it's kind of a both and as far as that goes. We're using QR codes this year too to track Mass attendance for our confirmation kids. So that's a really cool thing. Hopefully that'll work out. We'll see. They're all, we're like trying to figure out, like teenagers are sneaky, right? So we're like, how are they going to cheat this system? But they'll figure out a way, I'm sure. And digital stewardship. So my last comments about this, use what you have in the parish. So we've got awesome videographers and a photographer. We have, if you have adults who are in marketing or tech fields that aren't afraid of learning and using stuff, have them help. Have them, you know, come and train people at your parish. If you have teens or young adults that are trusted, let them run or not have full control of, but be a participant in posting some stuff on your social media. And you know, that's something that they can say, like, maybe that looks good on a college application even for some of them, that, you know, they were involved kind of as a leader in this ministry. We have a youth member on our parish council too, which I think's been super helpful. Just as kind of a side note, create a social media ministry if you need one. This could allow some different opportunities to build a little team of digital disciples, if you will. But just intentionally reach out and invite people to invest their time in these areas. My last comment will be that you're going to make mistakes, and people will tell you when you make a mistake. The email I sent out this week, I used the same template, and it was September 8th through 15th or something, and then I did it for this week, and it was supposed to say September 15th through 21st, and it still said September 8th through 15th, and I got like 8 emails within 4 minutes. And I was like, okay, I got it. I noticed it right away. I'm sure you all did. So they'll tell you if you make a mistake. And that's going to happen, and you can't beat yourself up over it. My favorite mistake I ever made, actually, it wasn't a digital mistake. It was a printed mistake, and it was the program for confirmation, and I had proofread it, I don't know, like 40 times. Monsignor proofread it himself probably 41 times. We made 18 rounds of corrections to it. Finally said, run it. I ran the program the day of confirmation, his name on the front spelled wrong. And I said, I'm either going to get fired or we're going to laugh about this later. But he didn't notice it either, so he never said a word to me. So they happen sometimes. And also, negative comments are going to happen, especially, you know, on social media. And there are ways of managing that. You just kind of have to take some of those with a grain of salt. But somebody said, it was actually, I was at a conference several weeks ago, the Good News Conference, and Bishop Barron was a speaker there, and he was awesome. But he said, he gets a lot of negative comments sometimes on even his YouTube videos. And he said, you know, there was this one guy, and, you know, 1 week he was like, you know, you Catholics this, and, you know, negative, negative, negative. Next week, same thing. Next week, same thing. He said, by the fourth or fifth week, we replied back and said, yet you're still here and you're still watching. So it's a little bit of evangelization maybe in those cases too. But that's all I have for you. So we're happy to take any questions, and thanks for listening.
Great job. Any questions y'all have? So you do, is this on? Yes. You do weekly emails.
Yes.
How often do you do Facebook?
Oh, it depends on the season. Like Advent and Lent, I'll do more. Try to do a couple things a week, but
so a couple
try
Facebook a week.
Not to do it every day.
And yeah. YouTubes?
Our music ministry does some on YouTube recently. They'll record new hymns that they're trying out or psalms and things. And it's a great way to, YouTube's a great way to show off if you have talented music ministry, because people will look for that when they're looking for a parish. When we got assigned our new priest, and some had met him, but we didn't really know him as a pastor. And so we went down a rabbit hole looking for YouTube videos. Like, we found homilies. So, like, people look for that stuff for sure. Yeah.
Questions?
As far as, like, the generation who's not comfortable with or familiar with using electronic mm-hmm. communication and social media, do you feel you still have to kind of do it the old-fashioned way, where you have to have, you know, hard copies in print? Or have you found a way to get them to access it and not be afraid to access it, sort of a thing?
We do some of both. And we have a fabulous seniors ministry person, and she will go to a house of someone that cannot seem to get logged on and set them up herself. And I've had people call me, and it was Frank Houston. His wife passed away, and this parishioner, and he said, you know, Helen, she just, every week, she loved putting that check in the basket, and she wouldn't let me do online giving, and she loved putting that check in the basket. He told me like 10 times, and he goes, but now she's dead. And he said, I want to do it online. Can I give you my credit card? So sometimes it'll surprise you, but most of the stuff that we do digitally, with the exception of the emails every week, we have available in print as well.
Other questions people have?
Just a comment off of that. I would not discount the older generation that you may think do not want to change to online giving or get the bulletins online. Looking at data, working with different parishes, the majority of them are already doing it in other aspects of their lives, so moving over is helpful. And looking at the data of your open rates on newsletters and things like that, you would be surprised. So I just don't discount them.
I would never stop mailing, though. Most of our estate gifts come from people who have kept our newsletters and brochures and plan giving for sometimes months and refer back to. So you want some things to stay at home. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to comment to back you up on what you've been doing, because it's incredible how many people we've reached because we have had a presence online. We do live stream online, and I know that there's a little bit of like, okay, is it good or is it bad?
Right.
I will say we have seen lots of new and young families come through the doors, and they go to our social media pages first because they want to see what kind of a parish are we,
mm-hmm.
who is there, what do they do? And they can see that because we post pictures, we post live stream. We live stream it, like we'll do a fiesta in the summer, we live stream mm-hmm. at that because it's fun. We live stream masses, we live stream rosaries every day. We post multiple times a day. And prior to COVID, we had about 2,500 people on our Facebook page, and now it's 18,000. So we're
That's
reaching
awesome.
Lots of people. So I'll just back
yeah.
up on that.
We have a Zoom rosary. I mean, we do some interesting stuff too. I mean, it's amazing what you can do if you kind of get creative with it and look at the options.
To the point of both, then, we just got a new bishop end of May, and we did a letter out to all 68,000 households in the diocese, a welcome letter from him, and did a lot of things with emails. Had Eucharistic Congress, which we do every year, 21st year, I think it was, and we sent out 68,000 postcards, but also did 46,000 emails five different times. And we had 12,000 people show up for the Congress. So we chose as our communication to do letters and emails both, so I wouldn't do one or the other. Other questions people have, we wrap up. I think we're getting close to 4:30.
The different platforms that you have, do you manage them all individually or do you have them all together?
Right now, currently, I use Constant Contact because it does my email and some social media, like at least three of them that I can do all in one place. But I'm looking into some other stuff because it doesn't do all the social media things. But it does integrate with our database. So that's like, it will sync if we have new emails and new people, new parishioners put in, it'll automatically send their emails over to Constant Contact. So that's been helpful because then you're not, they even talked about in another session, the integrations help kind of minimize having to do like data entry in 10 places. But yeah, it's helpful to kind of do them to like link as many accounts as you can. Then you're not creating 10 different posts. You're just creating one post and maybe having to like tweak a picture ratio for Instagram or something like that.
Other questions as we wrap up? Let me come back.
Do you, a lot of your digital stuff, do you have a process of like thanking parishioners or anything as far as like emailing them back to like happy birthday or thank yous, or is there anything you've kind of done in those areas?
We do a lot of just regular thank you cards. I know, our parish life person, she's really good about doing thank you cards for certain things, especially like after the funeral. We had hundreds of parishioners helped out with that, and it, you know, between her and the family, they did a lot of handwritten thank yous, which I think like, I still kind of place a premium on that. I like getting a card in the mail sometimes. But I've actually looked into the birthday thing. I think the birthday thing is kind of cool to like wish somebody happy birthday, but yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I would tell you, God bless social media. There's nothing like getting a handwritten note from someone.
Yes.
Because you stand out because people don't do that. So we do that in our office all the time. So social media, wonderful, but the handwritten notes still are a big deal for folks.
Mm-hmm.
Other questions people have? Again, you have sessions tomorrow morning, so you're wrapping up the end of the conference. Mass at 5:15. Glad you're here. See you at Mass and see you tomorrow morning. Thanks. Thanks, you guys. Great job.
Thank you.